Before we dive into it, I just want to tell you a little bit of background on why I'm teaching it, how I got into this. If you know anything about me, one is I have a passion for people. I absolutely love God, people. I don't know why, but I just love people. Number two is because of my passion for people, I want to really understand them and how we interact with people and the why we do what we do. And so I got my certification in life coaching and human behavior consultant. And when I was getting my certification in human behavior, a light went off in my mind. And like, boom. And that light was, I'm not like this because I'm disabled. I'm like this because they are the way God created me to be. And it's funny, my friend over here will tell you that I say and do a lot of things, and I say, I did that because I'm disabled. Like, sometimes I slap them in the face, and I'm like, that was my hand. It slipped. I have cerebral palsy. And he's like, no, you did that because you mean. Because that my personality, that who I am. And let me be real for a moment. We blame a lot of our attitudes and a lot of our personality on what we've been through. And it really, who we are, we may not be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I want that to resonate with you. I'm going to repeat that. We blame a lot of stuff on what we've been through and who we are because life has been so difficult and it helped. But a lot of times, it's because we're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so that is where we are going to get to today. So I did the test. I learned how to do the test, and I fell in love with it. I want something that I can relate to the Bible. So I thought, I wonder if I could recreate the text and study the Bible and find people in the Bible that match these four character traits. Because when you take the text, you find out that everybody fall into four different character traits. And so I found two characters for each of the four character traits. And that's what we are going over. And even though we didn't formally take the text, when we start to go through this, you see yourself in these characters. And that is why I think that's very important. You will read the Bible very different what you see yourself in the Word of God. I think sometimes we we condition ourselves from the Bible because we don't see ourselves in the Bible. But what we go through is the text, the material, you gonna be able to see yourself in the Word of God. I'm very excited about that. So let's get started because I'm a four and a half seminar hour into 45 minutes. So we got some work to do. So the first character choice I'm going to write about Solomon and Paul. Now, Solomon and Paul are straightforward. So I want you to write that in your blanks. They are straightforward. They are strong-minded. They are dominant. And they are go-getters. Somebody repeat that. Did anyone get out of that? You are straightforward, strong-minded, dominant, go-getter. That Paul and Solomon. Let's talk about Solomon for a moment. Solomon asked God for wisdom. Because he did not want to act based on his own knowledge. He asked for wisdom because he didn't want to act on his own knowledge. As king, he had administration gifts. He did not mind being the leader of the pack. He most likely was born with confidence. I relate to this group quite well. Paul had to learn that there is a God, and it wasn't him. But think about that. On the road to the mountain, God had to literally stop him dead in his tracks for him to get that he wasn't God. He had to constantly slow himself down so other people can keep up. That's so mean. I go so fast. Paul's outreach was ready for the next big challenge of fire to be put out. Now let's talk about Aaron and Peter. They are a lot like our pastor Keith right here. A lot like them. They are concerned, enthusiastic, spontaneous, and entertainers. Yeah, I got that. What we got? Can somebody repeat that for me?
Concerned, enthusiastic, and spontaneous.
Yeah. Great. So Aaron did not mind being in the public eye. That me right here. Spontaneous in the tennis. Yeah. B. He wanted to know exactly what God said before he did it. He was asked to perform his signs in front of everyone. It was important for him to speak truth into the lives of his followers. This is so me to the tea. I speak truth and I get in so much trouble for it. But I thought about Peter. Peter, he had a personality larger than life. Jesus had to keep him on a short leash. Because he would always run out and get himself into trouble. I can relate to that one. Jesus knew that he had a passion for his work. Therefore, Jesus helped Peter by promising him to make him fishermen of men. That was the hook for Peter. Peter was a fisherman. He loved his work. He loved what he does. So I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. And Peter took that and ran with it. Peter needed God to gain control over his tongue. We can say some things because we don't think about it. We can't go for it. And before we know it, we're like, did I say that? He was one that God called to stand up and speak on the day of Pentecost. So the Peter and the Aarons are the people that are going to get in front and make that happen. They are entertain you. They are have fun. But we're getting somewhere with this. So, hang on, Peter. Dorcas and John. They are helpful, kind, loyal, and constant. Did we get those? Constant. Yeah. So, helpful, kind, loyal, and constant. Dorcas loved to serve. That was her thing. She loved to serve people. She always made a lasting impression. She saw her purpose as a vessel that God could exalt himself. Dorcas probably only took charge when it came to the well-being of others. They had a lot like Pastor Jonathan. I think he scored really high in the area. They're talking about John. John always wanted to help. He was not happy and that those around him was happy. Let me tell my page. Humble. Did not want attention about to himself. Did not want attention about to himself. He always said the other apostle. He never really took ownership of him being an apostle. He said the other apostle. John did not like conflict. John was the last disciple to stay behind with Jesus. He stayed behind with all of the other disciples. You know, went forward, John stayed behind with Jesus. And so now let's go to Luke and Thomas. Luke and Thomas is complicated. Garland. And disciple, I can say that word too well, so I'm a fella. D-E-C-I-S-I-V-E. Disciple. Somebody say it for me. Disciple. Yeah, disciple. Yeah, I got it. Complicated. Garland. And disciple. Got it. So let's talk about Luke. Luke was a doctor who likes facts and details. He likes facts and details. Like to analyze the situation. I know someone a lot like this person. He do not accept things as they were. He must folks need to investigate them. He had to investigate. Most likely he felt that it was his responsibility to make sure everything is right. Let at Thomas. Thomas needed proof of everything. He had seen Jesus. He had to see the nail in Jesus. He needed proof of everything. He had a hard time taking people word for it. He had a hard time telling people word for it. He was very smart. He struggled with faith because he needed proof of all the people we talk about. Thomas was the one that probably came the closest to missing God in heaven because he needed to figure out Jesus first. So I did a little moment to think about this. Do you gotta see where you might fit in? It's usually two or more characters, two or more groups that you fit in. For example, I am a Peter and Aaron, and then I'm Paul and Solomon. Those two are my character who I most relate to, who I act like, who I be like. Some people would say, oh, you're not like Paul and Solomon. Oh, yes, I am. Have you seen me when it comes to my work and the way that I want that? At my friend, I am a Paul and Solomon to a T. I don't mind being Aaron and Peter and getting up on stage and having fun doing it. But what I learned is, in order for me to be where I want to be, which is on stage, I have to do the things that will get me to where I want to be in life. And so that when my Paul and Solomon come into play, and then when I'm on stage, I can be the life of the party and have fun. When I think about John, I think a lot about Jonathan and how he didn't want everybody to be happy. It hurt him to his heart when he can't make everybody happy. And then Luke is a lot like my mom and a friend of mine who they got to see the facts. And not that they don't believe, it's that they see believing is seeing for them. And so, do you got to know where you fit in? I want you to circle. What character do you think it moves like you? It's gonna be two groups. Like your two groups that you think it moves like you. Because we're gonna get into some fun stuff. So, like I said before, before I took the certification, I blamed everything on I'm disabled, I had a hard life, this is the way I am because of what I've been through. And like I said, I learned after the test that this is who I am. Because I am wired that way. I was reading the Bible in Psalm where God said, I want to restore you. And I'm thinking, how do you restore something? Because I love God. God is my faith. I can restore anything. It will be a 1969 box Mustang. White orange, black leather interior, the big ball, ship ball. But it allowed for me to restore it. I had to take a picture of the way it was originally designed. I had to see the way the car was made to be in order to restore. That the purpose of the test is to come to the knowledge of who you were originally born to be. And so, let's go into the challenges with that in mind. And I want you to see who the character is when they're in the Holy Spirit and when they're out of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't be looking at your partner saying, that you, because we're going to get to you too, okay? All right, so that's all that Paul wants to tell them. They are courageous, but out of the Holy Spirit, they can be reckless. They are courageous, but out of the Holy Spirit, they are reckless. Did I get that? They can be direct, but out of the Holy Spirit, they are offensive. They can be goal-oriented, but out of the Holy Spirit, they are impatient. I'm stepping on my own toe right now. They can be delegates, but out of the Holy Spirit, they are bossy. They can be competitive, but out of the Holy Spirit, they are ruthless. Then they have Peter and Aaron. Peter and Aaron are optimistic, but all of the Holy Spirit, they are unrealistic. Show me unrealistic. They are outgoing, but all of the Holy Spirit, they are unfocused. They can be imaginative, but all of the Holy Spirit, they are daydreamers. They can be spontaneous, but they also can be impulsive. And that one really gets me because I'm so guilty of that. I can be excited. All of the Holy Spirit, I can be very emotional. I'm gonna say that real quick. So, I do some life coaching, some counseling, not really counseling, I'm more of a life coach type deal. And I entail when someone come up to me, whether or not they pray about what we are talking about, based on whether or not they are excited, or emotional, or whether they've been imaginative or unrealistic. You can tell where people are when you really look at the way they are responding to the situation. And a lot of time I had to ask myself, based on what I'm feeling, based on the situation, am I responding under the Holy Spirit or out of the Holy Spirit? We really start to pay attention to that on a daily basis. We will learn so much about ourselves. I want to take a moment and say, Doc, can you grab that shoe and pull me out of my wheelchair? Sorry. I said, let's go to Doc and John. Doc and John are stable, but out of the Holy Spirit they are in this, that you are like, where are you? In the section, thank you, Margaret. They are relaxed, but not under the Holy Spirit. They are like initiative. But they can be relaxed, but when they're not under the Holy Spirit, they like initiative. They can be cooperative, but not under the Holy Spirit. They can be suckers. People can really take advantage of them when they are not under the Holy Spirit. And they think they're just being cooperative, but they're really being taken advantage of when they don't take the time out to pray about how they are responding and what they are doing and not doing for people. Big deal. My best friend is one of the people that he really helped me sit down and pray about it before he reacted to the situation. That's a big one. They can be reliable, but under the Holy Spirit, they are dependent, single-minded, inflexible. Let do Thomas and Luke. A lot like my mom right here. They question everything, but when they're not under the Holy Spirit, they doubt. They doubt everything. They are cautious, but not under the Holy Spirit. They are fearful. They are logical, but not under the Holy Spirit. They are critical. They are teachable, but not under the Holy Spirit. They are easily offended. Oh, I hear some moves. Yeah, but I know who you are. They are all, they like everything to be together, but not under the Holy Spirit. They are compulsive. Now we are talking about some of the blessing and curses of being the type of person. I'm going to give you a tip for each one. A blessing. They can accomplish anything they set out to do in their mind. But a curse is they can run over people without even knowing it. Don't even know I'm guilty of that. I mean, we don't mean to. We're just trying to get the step done that we need to do. Get out the way. Because I might literally run over you. What?
What do you have?
Oh, several times. Hey, here's a tip from people like me. Keep your relationship a high priority. Don't let work take up the majority of your time. Let's talk about people like PM. PM and your blessing, your attitude, and your high energy tend to change any environment that you are in for the better. Learn to change any environment that you're in for the better. But a question is, your instability. You can be unfocused and distracted. That's so mean. Here's a tip. Concentrate on leaving a legacy more than being the life of the poor. That's so mean. Plant good seeds and you will have a great harvest. John and Dawkins, your kindness and sweetness make it easy for people to lean on you. And my note is said let on you, but it leans on you. You can be dependent on stability. You can be dependent on stability. I feel like I need to go into that a little bit more. You struggle real hard with change. You don't want anything to change. You want it to stay exactly the way it is. Every time, only one problem. That's not the way life is. If you live for more than an hour, you're going to go through change. It's truly unedible. And so you might be willing to open yourself up to change. Because it will happen. I'm getting so old. I tell you, every day I wake up to a new type of oldness. Oh. realize that what you have to say is just as important as what the next person had to say. Sometimes people with this character tend to keep everything bottled in. They don't want to put any feelings. They don't want to think what they have to say is very important. And not the truth. What you have to say is just as important as what the next person has to say. Because you embody a totally different perspective to the situation of you just open up and share. Be free in that. Here you go, Luke. You are able to evaluate everything so well. But your perfectionist can stop you from relying on faith. Think about Luke and Thomas. They're perfectionists. Your value does not come from how much you know, but who you are as a person. Your value doesn't come from how much you know, but who you are as a person. Now, to wrap that up, I gotta say that they're pretty much did an awesome job this morning with emphasizing what I want to go over. And that is, your life is not your home. God created you with a specific purpose, a specific design. We're not accidents in this world. That was a hard reality for me to come to. I mean, my disability wasn't an accident. No, because before you were in your mother's womb, I ordered your steps. No, you wasn't an accident. You mean my sexuality wasn't an accident? No, I know every hair on your body. I created you intentionally this way. A lot of us are coming to God, leaving some of it behind. I'm going to repeat that. A lot of us are coming to God, and we pack up like we going on a trip. And we decide what we should bring on that trip and what should we leave behind. I don't need this. I don't want him to see this. I don't want God to see that. I want God to only see that side of me because that is what I accepted about me. So surely that what God accepts about me. It don't work that way. Because God don't want you to accept who you are. He wants you to accept who he made you to be. See, there's nothing you can bring on that trip that God doesn't already know about. What he wants from you is he wants you to use that under the control of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to leave it behind. He wants you to allow the Holy Spirit to direct you and guide you and lead you and make you respond for the right amount. Make you respond according to his will for your life. I wasn't going to go into it, but I feel it very important to this, and where I'm going, and what I want you to see. And then I'm going to ask them to come back up. Can you sing that song again? My life is not my own. Then a couple of weeks ago, I decided I'm going to do what I'm called to do. Whether or not I get paid for it, whether or not I get acknowledged for it, I got a lot I want to share in this world. And I'm going to share it, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, I'm going to do what I'm called to do, and let the ship fall where they may. Well, I am getting up that morning, I'm getting ready for church, and my routine, I get a phone call from an old friend of mine. Ex-friend of mine. We were friends before I came out. And when I came out, that was it. And that friend and a group of people did everything they could to make sure that I never speak in another church again. Well, you might have control over the church, but you don't have control over social media and the internet. So here I am posting stuff 5 years later. I'm then doing what I'm called to do. And apparently somebody sent him a link to one of my new videos. So he didn't want to call me to discourage me from doing what I'm doing. It hit me for a moment, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. I'm going to say, remember what you're teaching that morning? Remember that I created you to do exactly what you're doing. Can't no one do Christopher Coleman quite like you can. Because I designed you, I put that stuff in your heart and in your life for you to be the person that get up on that stage or get on that computer and inspire the world, not for your own, but for me. that anybody who knows you knows that I am an almighty, powerful God. But that not yet a calling for me. A calling for you too. God created you to do something magnificent that can only be done by you being you. I'm an image that I love praise and worship. I love praise and worship. I love raising my hand. That's who I am. But the biggest form of praise you have to give God is to be who He created you to be. If you really want to praise God, if you really want to give Him all your praise, be who He created you to be.